And now on Tucson Business Radio, let's find out how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise with your host, Karen Fisher.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tucson Business Radio X. This is Karen Fisher, and I am your hostess of our show, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We are broadcasting from the Tucson Business Radio X studio that's located right off of Stewart Title. It's just absolutely fabulous, but hot.
Yes.
And so I've got two fabulous guests. It is the Kathy and Karen show. Kathy and Karen, as far as this. And I would like to first introduce, I'm going to just say as far as the name, and I'm going to let you kind of talk a little bit about yourself. I got your fabulous bio, but I want to talk a little bit about you. So first, okay, we've got Kathy Peek, who is the CEO of the Peek Financial Group. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Karen. I really enjoyed getting the invitation to be here today. And I always appreciate being with you and my new friend, Karen, Kathy Bell.
Me.
Yes. And welcome, Kathy Bell. We have actually known each other for a number of years also, but it's really fun having reconnected, especially in the past few months.
So it's wonderful. And I think the fun part about being here today is it's a different dynamic from things we've done in the past. So out in the community, doing a little bit of more of the community and philanthropy and social type work, and then to be here today with a very important topic. So I like that.
I'm super excited for both of you to be here. And we're going to definitely talk about the main subject. Like we have, we've got the healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's our total topic always. But there's so many facets of that. And so first and foremost, I want to talk about, let's start a little bit with the healthy piece of it.
Okay.
Because all three of us could deal with healthy, wealthy, and wise. But talk about specifically some of the fun things that you've got going on. For those listeners that may not know Kathy Bell, she is the you're the president of Bella, correct?
K Bella. K Bella and Company.
Yes.
Yes, that's my company, my LLC. I did a lot of work in the early 1990s with Carondelet Health Network and created some mother-daughter programs, father-son programs, a lot of puberty education, worked and published with Dr. Kevin Lehman, and did a lot of Washington, D.C., going back and forth with Health and Human Services and grant reviews, and focused a lot of attention on sexuality education, things that were happening in the country at that time.
Your resume is a truly, both of your resumes are truly like who's who's as far as everything that's going on. And at the same time, you've got some very, very specific. So I know the story, but please tell our listeners your story about your beautiful, wonderful daughter who she's just off to college right now.
She is.
Yes.
Finally,
yes. We're going to talk about how to help our college students be wise.
True enough. And my husband and I had two children, John and Amy. And then 10 years later, we decided to start a second family. And Lizzie was born with one of the rarest marrow diseases in the world, diamond black fan anemia. So my daughter is Lizzie Bell. In 2009, our family received the ABC television Extreme Makeover Home Edition here in Tucson. It was Year of the Hero. And at that point, Lizzie was born in 1994. We had done a lot of community work in blood research and donation, blood donation, marrow donation. We were totally new to that whole space, never thought anything about going to the hospital. Lizzie was completely transfused dependent. So it wasn't something you even thought was, an issue in the country.
So when you say transfused dependent, explain to our listeners what that means.
She made zero red blood cells. So she completely had to live off of the contributions of this community, constantly giving her blood donations.
I just got chills.
Totally, completely transfused dependent. So this community saved saved my daughter's life and all the other seven pediatric populations that constantly rely on blood and blood products. We learned that through our journey. She's now 25 years old.
It's hard to believe she's 25.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We first met actually through your neighbor because she was involved with one of the organizations, the mother-daughter organization I've been involved in for a long time called National Charity League.
Yeah.
And we were actually, part of that journey. And with the ABC show, the reason why is that I know for a fact that you and your husband both just poured all of your energy, all of your resources, all of your time into literally saving Lizzie's life.
You saved the life, and it's one of the number one stresses in still in the research of what happens when you have a family member, somebody either ill or dies. It's still the number one stress that, you know, really impacts families. So when you talk about everything that is important to this radio show, you really are taking a look at a lot of the layers that influence everybody in the community on a health level, but most certainly on a financial level, what a town, a city, your neighbors do for all these families.
Oh, and it is amazing. And then Kathy Peak, so mm-hmm. I got the Kathy, the KB and KP. Can't even do that. But with Kathy Peak, one of the things that you have done, you have worked very extensively with a lot of widows, mm-hmm. Widows and widowers too, but primarily right. widows.
Mm-hmm. And divorcees.
And divorcees as well. But mm-hmm. oftentimes that the shock, I mean, the divorce is a shock mm-hmm. in and of itself, but right. the shock of a death yes. of a spouse mm-hmm. who in some cases there seems to be this little division within the money world
right.
that somebody handles one side of the money mm-hmm. and somebody else handles the rest.
Right.
And
it is so often that usually it's the female in the family that handles the household budget. And so often, especially in that age range, you know, 50 and up, 40 and up, you'll find that the majority of men will handle all of the insurance, securities, investments, all of those kinds of things. And they don't really typically bring the wife in because she's busy running the household, taking care of the kids, you know, working, possibly volunteering, all of the things that they're doing. And, you know, so the guy figures that's his area to deal with. And so often the financial advisor has never met the widow. And so it's really a deer
that
in the headlights.
That is so strange to me. That is yeah. so bizarre.
It's just deer in a headlight situation in a lot of cases where she is, you know, really reeling from, especially in so many of the folks that are much older. Oftentimes they've been married, you know, 30 years, 40 mm-hmm. years, 50 years. And to all of a sudden not have that spouse, especially a male, the husband passing away, which we know the men usually pass away before the women do. And, you know, she's just reeling emotionally, financially, mentally, you know, there's just a void there that is very, very scary. And they shut down.
Well, they shut down is one thing. But this is the other piece of it. If we think healthy, wealthy, and mm-hmm. wise, they also open themselves up to, and I want to talk at length today mm-hmm. about the proliferation of
yes.
scams that
yes.
are out
right.
there, particularly preying on the elderly.
Yes.
There is a financial advisor, friend of mine here in town, that, and he is, you know, he's been around for a long time, is a great mm-hmm. guy, and his own family. His mother passed away, and there was a scam artist that called the hospital so convincingly.
Oh my gosh.
To say, you know, I am, and he said whatever the family member's name, and, you know, I've got all this paperwork to do, and I don't know what to do, and I have to get her Social Security number. Mm-hmm. Because I have to file this information mm-hmm. for the death certificate or this, that. It just mm-hmm. like craziness. And within, so when they should be just focusing on taking care of the arrangements for mom, and everything was financially arranged, they ended up having to spend, and within a 48-hour time frame, over $10,000 worth of credit card debt and other things were within 48 hours. And this is a family that is, you know, and of course, the nurse at the hospital got into big trouble. And yet, we get so mad at the hospital if the hospital's, you know, like you're saying, I need my information or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that part of the reasons why we're, we've got such a clamp on some of that. One of the statistics that I was just sharing with before we started broadcasting our show is, according to the Federal Trade Commission, identity theft is like, it's, people know it, it's through the roof. Over 1,000% increase, 433% increase just since last year. And the two areas that are prime for identity theft are your teenage children is actually one of the biggest areas, because what will happen is that they, there's two areas, not just financial identity theft, but medical identity theft. They are using that information to gain access to, you know, we've got the huge opioid crisis happening. That's one of the things that happens with the young people. But financially, it's those that are over the age of 70 that actually lose more money, and where those scams start from.
Yeah, there's a lot of training that we have to go through in all of that fraud kind of stuff. Every year, we have to go through an entire course as a financial advisor. And I don't know what other industries. I'm sure that there are lots of other ones.
Believe me, we have to go through the mandatory fraud, fraud, security, and just, you know, that is constant. And the
but they really emphasize it so much now. And, you know, you would think that people would be getting smarter, but I don't think they are getting smarter. I think that until it actually happens to you or somebody that you know, you think that you're impervious. And especially younger folks, you know, they think that they're never going to die. They're never going to have any problems. They're, you know, and they can be taken advantage. And not only teenagers, but I think young college kids as well. Their first year in college, banks and all kinds of credit card companies.
Information out like crazy during that time period.
There's so much fraud that's possible when you're away from home for the first time and you're not as educated, you're not as smart, and unfortunately, freshmen in college are the ones that get very, very, very drunk and end up losing things and having things stolen from them. And it's just very scary.
It is definitely scary. One of the things that I have shared with people in the past, and this is just amazing to me. I've been a loan officer since March of 2000, but prior to that, I was a realtor and associate broker branch manager. So I've been in real estate and finance since 1983. And now I can honestly tell you that 100% of the credit reports that I pull have errors on them. 100%.
Oh, gosh.
And the question is, are those errors so significant that it's going to stop you from being able to maybe grow your business if you're needing capital? Or a lot of our listeners on Business Radio X are small business owners and entrepreneurs. Is it going to stop them from growing their business?
Or even starting.
Starting their business. Right. Or is it going to prevent them from being able to buy a house or a car? You know, those types of things.
Buying an office.
There's couple of very important tips. One, and this is the other thing, I teach credit classes. I don't know if you guys knew that. I've taught in the high school. I've taught at U of A. I've taught at Pima College. I've even had the honor of being flown to South Africa to teach. That was really fun. But one of the things that I tell people, especially my high school students, I'm like, Your teachers aren't going to want me to be telling you this, but there's a score that's more important than your ACT and your SAT, and that's your FICO score. And let me share something with you. I'm going to give you the combination, and I want you to remember these numbers. 2, 31, 7. So I don't make them repeat it. And so what it is, it's 2 years to build your credit. It's 31 days to destroy it. It is one missed payment.
Oh, my goodness.
31 days. Seriously. Yeah, one missed. If you've got great credit and you have a ding, like a 30-day ding, that actually causes more damage than if you kind of have a history of sometimes being late, because all of a sudden the algorithm says, uh-oh, something's wrong. What happened? And 7 years for negative information to get removed. So it's really huge.
Wow.
So one of the big things that's happening right now, there's a housing shortage. It's all over the news. Mm-hmm. There's a low-income housing shortage, and a lot of our college students are looking for apartments or houses or roommates. And one thing that they, you know, there's some very, very specific, and I'll post some links on this on the podcast, but there's some very specific things that you want to make sure anybody that you know, as far as the college students, that they're checking out the people that they're giving their personal information to. They sometimes look like actual jobs. They'll say, you know, work from home, flexible hours, can work with your college schedule, that type of thing. You got to make sure that that is a legitimate company that is that you're replying to. And the other is legitimate places for rent. Typically, companies that are legitimate property management companies or legitimate owners, that documentation is going to be listed in more than one place. But if you find something that's just listed just on Craigslist and maybe not on someplace else, that may not be a legitimate house.
Yeah. We had last year, Alicia just graduated from college, but last summer when we were looking at apartments and houses by campus, there was an application process where you filled out all the information. You really had no contact of the company, and they wanted everything because they were going to do a credit check on you before you could even go see the property. So you were looking at house or apartment.
Just
you
online.
Had some kind of a application process online. Nobody to contact. They wanted to only contact you. You couldn't get back in touch with them. But here's give us all your information in order to get into that piece of property. And I said, not a chance.
Yeah,
there is no way we are applying for any of those.
Yeah, that's a huge red flag. And you're being very wise because the legitimate companies will have a contact. You typically would even be able to go and see them face to face.
That's a lot of personal information.
Yeah, and this other thing, don't give your personal information to your doctors. Do you know that the number one area, like I'm fingerprinted and background check, Kathy's fingerprinted and background check, you're in the medical world, fingerprinted and background check where you're at,
But
not your doctors or your dentist. Their front office staff are not.
Really? I didn't know
that. Oh, wow.
No, and there is not a system. So the two biggest breaches that have happened within the past few years, biggest breaches came directly at one was an employee at the Department of Veterans Affairs who just, I mean, opened up millions and millions of our veterans and particularly our active duty overseas, because our overseas do not do that. So there's huge, like it's hundreds of millions of people. And then the other one was actually in, it was an employee that just gave her drug dealer boyfriend all the information that was coming as far as that. So just because the pre-printed form says put your social security, just remember the letters WND will not disclose. They don't need your social security number. And they finally, on social security, Medicare cards have finally removed the number.
I saw that.
It had been up until even just as recently as a year ago, it was their social security number.
Right, it was. Because my mom says, I have a new social security number.
Oh, she does. Yeah, okay.
She's 82. It's not a social security number, Mom. Nope, it's my new one.
It's
my new
How old is your mom?
82.
She's 82. So I've got those that are in the late 80s right now. So it's exciting. So, and your mom, it's been just a little over a year.
I'm orphaned now.
Oh, she's orphaned.
I'm orphaned now.
Well, she went through, she was the caregiver for her mom.
Right.
for
10 years. 10 years. And
oh, wow.
She had Alzheimer's probably for the last maybe 4 years, and it got increasingly worse and worse. But even in that, speaking of health, even in that, what I discovered from a mutual friend of ours, Joy Gulliver, who is a caretaker's caretaker, she explained to me that your primary doctor cannot officially diagnose Alzheimer's, that you have to get a referral to a neurologist, and the neurologist will officially diagnose the Alzheimer's.
Interesting.
And so what I kept being told by her primary physician, and you know, they sent her to a behavioral therapist, and they just said, well, she has an older brain, and but there were things that were happening that I knew it wasn't just an older brain, things that just didn't seem right at all. And she was losing, not only did, I mean, I know we all forget, I forget names, I forget places, you know, I get forgetful, but she would watch information about somebody that had died, and then they show up on the front of a magazine, and she would say, did you know that so-and-so died? And I'm like, yes, Mom, you watched the news for 4 days about that particular person. And so I knew that there was a lot more than that. And then I finally got the diagnosis officially of Alzheimer's. And one of the reasons why they're so hesitant to do that is that long-term care, you have to do the daily activities, and
sure,
there's certain things that Medicare, I get them mixed up, that they won't cover them 100%, but once they are declared having Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, then they're automatically...
Say, I learned something right now.
Right, then they're automatically, and it, even with the long-term care policies or any insurance or annuities that have a rider on them for the long-term care, they're the daily activities, two out of the six... Or three out of the six,
right.
I forget now which.
Right.
But once they have been declared having Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia, then it automatically kicks in. So, of course, they're a little hesitant to diagnose that. And once she was declared that, then everything kind of fell into place.
As far as additional support.
Additional support for me to take care of her that, you know, I could get through, because she had no assets. That's the other thing that my lawyer advised me not to commingle our funds, not to commingle anything, because he said that if you commingle things, then you're on the hook. But since she had her own assets and I had my own assets, if she had a bill that she couldn't pay, that was up to her. That wasn't up to me to pay. And there's so many families that feel like the hospital bill or, you know, whatever is their responsibility because, you know, Mom is theirs.
Well,
and they actually don't have to.
Well, and sometimes it's because you're putting the same level of responsibility, if you will, of caring for your parent that you did for caring for your children.
Oh, for sure.
It kind of seems like just like the same thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, for sure.
Well, let's talk about some really specific things. I want to talk about what you are doing now, moving forward, as far as definitely as far as you've got a gala of an event coming up.
Yep,
you've got
yes.
some things that are happening. So tell us more.
A little bit about that. Oh, well, after the house in 2009, we had the Extreme Makeover house. And so we began doing a blood drive there every August. There seemed to be a great need in the community for blood donation at that time.
Well, why is that? Why do you think August? Is it?
Well, a lot of the snowbirds are still gone. The college students are gone, and just a number of people in the community, you know, just on vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to stay hydrated. So when you would show up, people would show up at the donation centers, there was difficulty in actually getting somebody who could donate.
Oh,
their blood pressure,
the
heat of just even getting there would compromise a donor. So we did a lot of of education in the community as to just preparation and then having a meal and hydration and being ready to give blood. And so over time, our way of hosting drives changed, and thus we created this event at our house and we started meeting chefs. So we feature a chef. People would come and eat, they tour the house, and we pack the blood mobile with donors. So it's been a lot of fun. So it's just once a year. And this year, because it's the 10th anniversary year of the build of the house, we
I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Brought in this little television star, little food chef, Ariana Fagan. And we met her mom up in Minnesota during marrow transplant. And so the moms talked back in 2013, and here it is, 2019, we get to do something together.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about our young chef star. Tell me about her.
Well, she's quite the philanthropist. On top of everything else that this girl has done, she said she started cooking when she was 4. And it just was something that kept morphing into different cooking experiences and different activities until she was competing. And then she made it to the sixth season, or they just finished filming the sixth season for MasterChef or some competition that she was on. And she's had to alter her lifestyle in order to be in, you know, Los Angeles or wherever the show is taping in order to be a part of these competitions. And it's interesting because she loves different cultural textures with the different meat or food that she wants to cook or learns to get involved in. And so for us, I asked her what she wanted to prepare, and she is going to be doing a pork loin. Oh. So I am not somebody who cooks. And so this has been a lot of fun to get ready for this. I'm more nervous about that part of her cooking at the house on Saturday, and got my neighbors involved and people who like to do cooking activities. But I don't mind doing your dishes. I'll do the dishes and mop the floor and all that good stuff, but the cooking part terrifies me.
Maybe
so
you're going to learn.
Oh,
that is funny.
No.
Kathy, do you love to cook?
I love to bake.
Oh, see, I'm the baker also.
Yes.
And you know what? I think it is both of our backgrounds. So she was a chemistry teacher. And my field of study prior to doing any of this was in biomedical engineering. That was my field of study. And I absolutely love to bake. My husband, on the other hand, and our daughter, I mean, they are fantastic chefs. Like, literally, Kathy Peek has heard the story that one time we sat down and we figured out that within a 1-year time frame, we had not eaten the same meal twice.
Oh my goodness!
You know, because and Allison's still that way, and Scott is too, and it's just so. I've gotten better though, because I will do a lot of stuff with Scott, but all of a sudden he'll grab things for spices that where's the recipe? You know, I want to know where's the recipe.
Yeah, I'm okay as long as you give me a recipe. I can follow a recipe to, you know, fix dinner. My kids never went hungry.
You know, I wish my kids could say the same thing. They're listening out there.
I just think it's great. And then, but on a constant basis, as far as tell us where people, I actually am now allowed to give blood, but for many years I was prohibited from giving blood because years ago I used to draw blood for the lab.
Oh,
and because of drawing blood for the lab, and back in the late 70s, early 80s, our biggest scare then was hepatitis. Mm-hmm. But in the early 80s, there was AIDS was in there.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
They didn't tell the medical community.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there were many people that were phlebotomists, which is what I was. We didn't use gloves.
Oh, my goodness.
At that time, back in the 70s and 80s, we washed our hands like crazy. HypoCleanse was everywhere. And washed our hands, but we only would use glove if a patient had hepatitis.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyhow, but we want to get into more. But I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to the broadcast. This is the Healthy. We are broadcasting live. It's live streaming. Mm-hmm. It's also podcasted, so you can forward this information. I want to get some real deep content, because this is the type of thing that needs to be forwarded to all of our, just forward it to everybody. Because there's going to be, you're either going to have a parent or you're going to have a student. Right, you're going to have one or the other, right? And again, this is with Tucson Business Radio X. And I am Karen Fisher. My superhero job, I'm a senior loan officer with Summit Funding. And I love to say that I give money away and I have an unlimited supply. Right now, interest rates, they're the lowest they've been in 3.5 years. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's just incredible. I mean, and with what's happening with the inventory right now, and just the way that it is, you can actually own a home, even if you are a college student or the parent of a college student, for less than rent.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's a very wonderful time. And that's not just within Tucson. That's also in the Metro Phoenix area and up at NAU. Same thing. So very interesting. So, all right. I really want to get into, so this is where we're going to make people do some homework and some thinking, but it fun.
Okay.
I'll make it fun.
The teachers in us.
Yes, the teachers in all
That's
of us.
That's all, yeah. Yeah, we've all been teachers.
Well, so a couple of the Kathy Peek, she's been a financial advisor since 2001. You've got your Series 6, 63, and your insurance licenses.
And 65.
And 65. Okay, nice. 65 as well. One of the things that I love about you, though, is a lot of financial advisors, they have a minimum that somebody needs to have in order to work with you. And I just think that you've got such a passion for giving, you know, you just help them where they're at, help them to understand the money and to recognize that, yes, you know, this is how you start with a budget. What's a budget?
Right.
You know, people don't even like the word budget.
Right.
In fact, I tell my clients, I said, it's not a budget. We're just going to call it a spending plan.
Right.
Budget equals cheap. Nobody wants to be cheap. So we're going to call it a spending plan because we all like to spend.
Well, I think that so many people don't even go to a financial advisor because they think they need $10,000, $100,000, $400,000, you know, that they need a lot of money in order to actually get started. And you can actually get started with about $250 and $50 a month. So anybody can do that.
That's great.
So if our college students started this, which, as you know, our daughter did. But imagine if they all did this, like what it would happen.
And especially if they've got a part-time job or they're working their way through college. You can start a Roth IRA, which is what I normally spend. Ask my younger clients to start with a Roth IRA because it is not deductible now, but all of the money you put in there plus all of the money that grows in that account comes out tax-free. And you don't ever have to take money out of that account. There is no minimum required distribution because you've already paid taxes on it. The government doesn't get any taxes. So an IRA, as you grow that, everything that you take out of an individual retirement account, you have to pay taxes on everything. And so the government didn't used to require at all. And then they started noticing that people were waiting later and later and later to retire. And finally, the government said, wait a minute, at 70 and a half, at 70 and a half, you have to start taking out a minimum required distribution. You have to take out a certain amount every single year because the government wants their taxes, right? And they want
That's
that tax
exactly
money
what it is.
On that on that money. And I think that so often people don't even realize that retirement is a very new concept. Before the Depression, nobody ever retired. Nobody retired because typically the man of the house, even if it was a single mom, they would work until they didn't. Until they died, essentially. You would work until, because people died a whole lot earlier than they do now. Essentially now, we can retire at, say, 65, between 65 and 70 is kind of the average. But people are living so much longer. So you could have a 20, 30-year retirement plan that you have to fund for.
What is that Act Two or Act Three? What does that look like?
Right.
Because the way you live pre-retirement versus the way you live post-retirement, I know it's very, very different.
Too different.
You know, one of the things as a loan officer, I literally see everything that and I ask the questions that your mother told you you weren't allowed to ask, such as how much do you have in the bank, how much do you make, and what's your age? And oh, by the way, you can't just tell me, you have to prove it to me. This isn't like bar stories, right?
Right.
Okay, so one of the things that I find with a lot of my clients, I have a lot of retirees and, you know, all age spectrum. You know, I'm helping people's grandchildren, or, you know, buy houses and things like that. But one of the things that they do, they get so irritated with that required minimum distribution. But there are some things that are doing. And sometimes, depending upon the circumstances, it is not good use of your money to completely have your home paid for. A lot of people have that as a goal.
Thank you, Karen.
Is that
I've been telling my clients that for the longest period of time. That paying off something or buying a house for cash is not, because the way that I talk to them about that is, you look at the richest of the richest people in this country, and they could buy an apartment complex, they could buy a hotel, they could buy, you know, several houses, but they don't. They use other people's money, and they invest that money.
Yes, they do, and I definitely see that.
So here's the thing like grasping at this moment. My daughters, the youngest two, are like, Alicia just graduated from college, and so she's starting her whole life. And one of the first things that happens when you walk into those new jobs is you've got to decide how much is going to be taken out in tax, at what percentage or what level. And there's just so many of those initial decisions. But you're calling your dad.
Right.
You know, you're calling somebody else because you're not exactly even sure. So I'm sitting here going, how fast can we have a class? Like, how fast can I have something?
You know,
these young people get a chance to even hear what you just said a second ago. $250 and $50 a month.
They blow that
and
on
where
Uber
do we
rides.
Put that? Do we put that in a bank? Do we put that in a credit union? Do we put that in where do we put and that? Then, what does that look like? What does that feel like? All of those things.
Well, typically for beginners, I start, as I said, with a Roth IRA, and you would invest that, the investment vehicle. The way that I describe it is like the car, okay? So we have lots of different cars. The engine is what your investment product is, okay? The engine of the car, what makes it run. So if you put it in a checking account or a savings account, that car is more like a Yugo. It'll make it to Phoenix, but not very fast.
Not very far.
Because it doesn't make any money, right? It doesn't make any money. It's right now, interest rates are fairly low. So, you know,
they're getting maybe a half a percent on your checking account.
You know, even if you got 2%, even if you got 2% on your money, you're staying up with inflation. Inflation's very low right now, but it's at 2%. So, no, you want to use something. And typically what I recommend, especially for beginners, is a mutual fund, because a mutual fund is the combination of lots of people's money being invested in lots of different stocks and bonds. And there are thousands and thousands of different mutual funds. So you find an advisor who's going to advise you in based on the questions that they ask you. Are you, you know, what are your goals? I just started, a young lady just started college. She got a full scholarship into college, and she had some money tucked away just in case she didn't. And for her, what she wants to do is not necessarily a Roth IRA at this time. She wants to save her money in just a plain old mutual fund. And then I find out, what is her tolerance level for the ups and the downs of the market? Because there are going to be ups and downs in the market.
Oh, you mean you don't have control?
No. No.
Just like, I don't have control over the interest rates.
That's right. And so we picked a couple of mutual funds, different types of stocks and information that's in there and for her particular goals. And she invested that money in there. And then when she works, probably quarterly or whatever, during the summer, she'll add to that. So, you know, that's one way to do it. Typically, unless you have an enormous amount of money to play with. Using stocks and bonds is not my recommendation. My recommendation is to use something like a mutual fund and, you know, and start out that way and then get your young people used to paying themselves first, putting themselves first. My kids have heard me. They'll ask me for Nikes, or they, when they were growing up, they'd ask me for this or that. And I'd say, well, you know, just not that they didn't get the Nikes, but just as an exercise, let's figure out if you took that $50 and invested it and left it invested for a certain period of time, how much is spending that money for that going to would have made in, say, 50 years? And then they, you know, we calculate it off and they go, oh, Mom. Well, it's important to understand that you have choices in life. Do you have a big screen TV, but you can't pay your bills? Do you have the best and the biggest car just for show? Or are you willing to go, you know, maybe just, you know, it's like the book, The Millionaire Next Door. It's a fabulous book because our parents and our grandparents were much more, what do I want to say,
just concerned.
They held on to their money. They saved their money. Mm-hmm. They put their money in the bank because that's really all they had
made
to
Made something
choose.
Stretch.
And they made it stretch. Mm-hmm. They weren't looking for the biggest car, you know, and the biggest house. They wanted to provide for their family and be comfortable, but the rest of that was going into, you know, not that they retired, but they just wanted to be able to have some extra money on the side in case of an emergency.
Well, I think that as far as our young people, what you were just saying, I think if we can have that communication, and yes, as far as the class, you know, we've created things right out of the show, and I am all for it because we now, with my new office location, we've got a room for easily hold 25 to 30 people in there, and to do this on a regular basis. I teach the credit classes all the time, but these basic information, and to make it fun and to understand, and it's interesting because the, you know, there is a piece that happens with all families, and that is when you hit that health crisis. You had it on the extreme level, which which created...
And, well, and I think one of the things that my husband and I actually talked about this morning was the fact that with all these children living, with all the science and all the emphasis on STEM and STEAM classes, and everybody focused on sciences, we are creating pathways for us to overcome things that were never possible before. So we have all these, you know, kids that are living, cancer kids and, you know, all different kinds of children. But that's a huge financial compensated family because I gave up an income 19 years ago. So you go down to one income and then your life is completely immersed in this medical world where the out of pocket can be enormous. So, I mean, I, you know, when people talk about, you know, starting a nonprofit, we started our nonprofit because I was the one that could go down and pick up lunch for Elizabeth while she was in the treatment room all day long, but nobody else in the room was eating lunch, and these were hungry children. And so that's the reason why we started our nonprofit. So we're pulling 20s out of the bank, you know, bank machine, and then eventually, because you're there 3 days a week, and you're there week after week and week after week, pretty soon mama's eating apples and peanut butter out of the nourishment room because that's all you can start affording for how much amount of time. You just can't, you can't work. You're constantly compromised. The gas, our nonprofit gives out gas cards when we're asked by the different social workers just to get to your child's appointments 3 days a week. The gas and just trying to keep everything else normal. These are families, all of these families are financially compromised in order to save a loved one's life. So you have these mamas, you have these caregivers, you have these people that have taken on that, you know, they're at the foot of your cross. how do we even begin to help that? That's a whole different sphere of people. But I'm looking at my daughters who've lived, Lizzie and Alicia and Amy, my son John, that have lived this lifestyle. They get it on a whole different, you know, level that's very visceral for us. But starting out to take them and say, I'm glad you've got that in one pocket, but I want to make sure that you have a better understanding of something in this other pocket.
Right.
Because they've seen the impact of financial debt.
Right.
You know, and medical debt.
And it's not, and there is not only the debt, but I think that so often people don't think about things like, especially when they're younger, think about life insurance. Especially when they're just starting a family. But I talk to my younger clients about, you know, the stay-at-home mom needs insurance as much as the dad needs insurance. Because if you lose mom, then dad has a choice. He is either going to have to leave his job to raise the children, and then he needs his income replacement, which is where the insurance comes in, where you invest that and then just take a certain amount to replace the income, or he's going to have to try to replace her in what she does. So hiring a nanny or hiring, you know, somebody to come in and do some of those things, the housework, the, you know, I know that they've done estimates of how much a mother, a stay-at-home mom is actually worth when you take a look at all of the different
the jobs
that she does. And I think it's like $300,000 or something like that. So, you know, insurance is really important when they're younger. And the nice thing, when you're younger, you can get so much more insurance that's a lot less expensive.
It's very inexpensive.
Very inexpensive. So a lot of people don't think about those things when they're younger. And also the family itself, if something happens, like happened, luckily Lizzie lived. But if you have a loved one, a child, a teenager that loses their life, so many families cannot take time off from work.
Right.
Because there's no life insurance on that child.
Right.
They have to keep going. And if there is some, at least a base amount of life insurance, then they can take time off to heal and to work, you know, from work to heal and those kinds of things. So those are just some of the things that I talk to clients
about. And it's really inexpensive. Like one of the things that we, so our daughter is going to be, she'll be 28 this year. And I just, my husband and I, our plan was, we just thought that, you know, you got married, you bought a house, you got life insurance. I didn't know that there are people that didn't have life insurance. Like, to be honest with you, I didn't really understand that.
Most that's people not, don't.
Well, that to me is shocking, but that's just how we were brought up. Well, so so right now we've got this policy that we took out on Allison at the time that she was one. It's literally.
Okay, I was just going to ask you if that's one of the takeaways.
Yeah.
I've got four grandkids.
Yes, absolutely.
You can start funding
bucks.
That.
It was $15 a month. And you know what's crazy right now is that her dividends on that insurance policy are more than what we actually pay in. We still have been paying in all these years. And the cash value, if she chose to do something, she's got enough cash value right now that they could actually, they could borrow against the life, the cash value of that policy for a legitimate down payment to buy a house.
That's, you know, there's lots of different types of insurance.
She's like,
so here's the thing. There's lots of different types of insurance, and there's lots of different types of insurance agents. And unless
you're... And some scams, to be honest with you.
There are plenty of scams out there. But here's the thing.
Homework.
If they're not, if they're just insurance licensed, they can only sell fixed insurance, which means that they can't use the market. So they can't sell things like variable universal life. They can't sell indexed life. They can't sell other types of variable life, which is like having, you know, a little investment product attached to your insurance product. And certainly they can sell whole life, but whole life, the first 10 years of whole life, the majority of that money that you're paying in premiums goes to pay the insurance agent in the company, not going into that little savings portion of it. So there's lots of different types of insurance. So if somebody's looking for life insurance, make sure that you talk with somebody that is securities licensed as well as insurance licensed.
That is hugely important.
So that young person, my daughter gets her first job, that dollar, 50 cents of that dollar is going to go to something that helps sustain her future. And 50 cents is going to be about the present, her rent, her car gas, or whatever. Because by the time you take that and you create that $250 and you put some money every month into that and you have your taxes taken out and then, you know, your insurance policy, which may be $15 a month, but still, if you're, you know, you're a first-time employee and you're making, let's say, $20,000 a year, if you can do that, you know, I don't know what everybody's start pay is, but but I think, you know, you're sitting there living on, okay, you're going to live off of $10,000 a year. So if you make $30,000 a year, you're going to live off of $15,000 a year.
Well, what I teach my clients is kind of the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
So if you learn to live on either 70 or 80% of your income and the rest of it, because also you have to remember that the universe has certain universal laws, and that is giving away a portion of you make is not just a biblical kind of thing. It's just the way that the universe works. So giving it to a nonprofit or giving it to, you know, a needy family or some particular cause, you don't necessarily have to give it to a church or a synagogue, but giving that money away, it's like restricting an arm and putting a tourniquet around it so that it's not circulating. You have to remember current in electricity or flowing water, a current comes from currency. And currency is money, right? And so you have to keep that money flowing. So if you hold on to your money too tight, it's like strangulating an arm.
And, and that's definitely
a good metaphor.
It is a great metaphor, and I definitely have seen that happening. So one of our favorite charities is, so tell us about the foundation and how people can get involved.
Right.
That's teamlizziebell.org. And probably our biggest campaign is our toy drives. We're a year-round toy campaign. We currently supply all three hospitals. So we have the Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital is our newest, their emergency room. Of course, Diamond Children, we constantly are putting toys into these niche areas where children will go and they all know that a needle is next. So that's really a big deal for us.
Tell me more about that.
Tucson Medical Center.
So what type of toys do you need? Is it better for them to give you funds to buy the toys or better for them? You can tell them what the toys are.
Either way, the one biggest area is we rarely get toys donated for infants. So I think this is my year between now, August to next August is baby showers. I really want people to host baby showers where it's going to be infant gifts. You can do however baby shower you want, but everybody brings a baby infant gift. That's a big deal. We just don't get enough of those. Packaged toys, Hot Wheels. I need to collect a minimum of 12,000 Hot Wheel cars.
12,000.
12,000. I can tell you where they go. I can show you. You can deliver them. Large stuffed animals. They are go right into the emergency rooms for those victims of sexual crime.
I had known that because my mom used to collect teddy bears, and I left them with a friend to donate to hospitals, fire departments, and police stations because they use teddy bears as well.
Yes,
but she must have had the 100 they teddy bears.
They've got to be something that does the eyes. You can't bite off an eye or a nose. And then our last is board games for ages 8 and under. That's a big, big deal,
so board games. Well, I think that we have created something. I like the idea of doing a class for our young people, but I guess if we called it, you know, as far as a baby shower, I'm telling you, our college students, we've got some of the most amazing, you know, you hear so much negative on the regular press. Let me tell you the things that I'm seeing that our young people are doing, our college students are doing. It's amazing. Like, just like the chef that you talked about with this Heart for Philanthropy. We've got people that are right within the Tucson community mm-hmm. that they're just teenagers. Some of them can't even drive that legally, right. but they're doing amazing things
absolutely.
Here.
So absolutely. When you speak about students, one of the things that's interesting, besides our blood drives and our toy drives, is that we recently found out about a research team over at the College of Education under the leadership of Dr. Michelle Perfect. The research for all these hospital schools that are in the country, everybody from John Hopkins to Duke or whatever, the research on what's happening in these schools is here in Tucson. We have Elizabeth Hospital School Fund through the College of Education, because what happens for families where you have these children we're saving lives is they go into the school systems and we look at the teacher as little Bobby needs XYZ, but the teacher's not trained in it. The help, you know, with whatever is not trained in it. And there's not really a category in the educational field. It's not a 504 and it's not an IEP. And so you have these children that are really a lot of educational.
Fragile.
Yeah, it's compromised. And so one is to be able to serve the children in the different needs within the educational system. So that's one element of it. But the other half of it is when we take that data back and we fund these students, these college students back into the research team, what are we learning? What are we learning about how we're going to help these kids? And that's the work of Dr. Michelle Perfect here in Tucson. And that's the Lizzie Bell Hospital School Fund.
I would love to have her as a guest on our show.
She's fabulous.
This. That would be a fun thing mm-hmm. that we can really help to do this. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the number one way, I want you to tell us how they can get in touch with you. And then this is Kathy Bell and then mm-hmm. Kathy Peake, how they can mm-hmm. get in touch with you. And I'll talk about how you can get in touch with me.
Yes, you can go to teamlizziebell.org. And on the contact us, you could say something about, I'd love for Kathy Bell to get in touch with me. Or you can do kathyflorisbell@aol.com or Kathy Flores Bell on Facebook.
Awesome. Fantastic. And Kathy Peake. Oh, by the way, both Kathy's are K-A-T-H-Y.
Yes, we spell it right.
Spell it right.
Yes,
I love it.
I'm just teasing. So probably the best email, because I don't need anything going through compliance.
Well, you do the work through compliance,
the
but
work,
not just
right,
the general
just general
education.
Emails and yeah. education. It's mymoneyadventure.com would be the, and it's Kathy@mymoneyadventure.com. And they can contact me, find me on Facebook at My Money Adventure. And I think it's also listed under Kathy Peake, Money Simplified Advocate.
Oh, I love that. I just love that. You know, and you do. You have such a heart for education mm-hmm. and helping people and seeing people of all ages to really do the right thing with their money. You know, to mm-hmm. be educated about it and not mm-hmm. to be... little segue. One of the things that she told me, she says there are financial advisors that are not even consulting or telling some of their
right.
widow clients that they're like, your husband told me to do this, and
right.
not allowing questions to even be asked. So mm-hmm. I just think, mm-hmm. I mean, I know all three of us come from a mindset of there is no such thing as a dumb question.
Right.
That's right.
Ask away.
Right.
So, and then I am Karen Fisher with mm-hmm. Summit Funding. I my NMLS license, because everything I talk about as far as money has mm-hmm. to be held with the national license. It's 180167. And the easiest way to reach me is to actually call me. Telephone works really well. My mm-hmm. direct line is 520-447-2279. That's 520-447-2279. And then you can also email me at Karen, K-A-R-E-N, .Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, at summitfunding.net. So our awesome producer, Mark, is here. Are we wrapped up? We are wrapped up. I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Please forward this information.
Fun.
And we
mm-hmm.
will be able to post some information. I think we will put the dates on. Mm-hmm. We are all three speed of implementation. We'll put the dates on and let's get this educated. Thank
Absolutely.
You again.
Thank you so
Stay
much.
Cool
this
out there, folks.
Thank you uh-huh. so much.
Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.